This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome into another episode of 5 Out.
When you say 5 Out, what do you mean by that?
We're doing all-decade episodes similar to the all-2019 episode. Matt and I are going to be talking about best player of the decade, best franchise, most disappointing season, all that stuff. If you haven't already, leave a rating and review on iTunes, Stitcher, and Spotify. It's greatly appreciated. If you take a screenshot of it and send it to us on Twitter or Instagram at 5OutPod, you can redeem your free t-shirt.
And let's get it going.
Look, I'm just trying to be all right with it. Yeah, I'm just trying to be all right with it. Yeah. I'm just trying to see the light in it. I think we should take a ride with it. I'm just trying to spend the night with it. Yeah. I just want to be all right with it. Yeah.
All right, so I had to make the list for the All-Decade team, which I was kind of dreading, for the Celtics, I mean. It's up on the site now. The only reason I was dreading it was because I knew Kyrie Irving was going to have to be on my list, and I feel like there's a lot of people that aren't going to want him to be on that All-Decade list, but, I mean, the fact of the matter is he's one of the 10 best players for the Celtics in the past 10 years. So I have Rondo as my starting point guard, Isaiah Thomas, Paul Pierce, KG, and Al Horford. How do you feel about that starting five?
So you put IT in who?
Rondo.
And the same
yeah.
starting lineup?
I
don't really like
that. It's small. I get it. But they're the five best players of that decade.
Okay, yeah, if we're not doing it like starting lineup, playing
no,
against someone.
I did put that disclaimer in the intro. Like, I wouldn't have Horford and Garnett starting together either, personally.
Yeah.
Just because you could go, throw...
I would agree with those. As much as we don't like Kyrie, just the talent-wise.
So then the bottom five, Kyrie's on the reserves. Is Kyrie, Avery Bradley, Marcus Smart, Jaylen Brown, and Jason Tatum. So you're not on board for Smart.
I mean, how are you not going to put Ray Allen in? I'd take Ray, even the, what did he play, like 2 years in this decade on the Celtics?
I think it was two, maybe three.
I'd still put him. You still have to throw him on there.
See, my problem is that, and I think this could be just expectations, but I have a certain set of expectations with him, like I do with any other guy, and then when you don't meet that, then for me, I guess they kind of, like the disappointment level might be lower than the average person, and I'm trying to take out all the stuff with LeBron and him going to play with him. But even that, I just felt like there were a lot of times where Ray was asked to step up at the end, and he didn't.
He was also older.
He was older. I get that, but that's why, I mean, I'd rather, I mean, personally, I think that when you tell the story of that decade, can you tell it without Ray Allen?
Yeah, you could. This decade, yes.
There's more of a case to be made than the other guys. That's for sure. Because Rondo was actually probably the best Celtic of the decade. He was one of three guys that were all NBA.
Mm-hmm.
He was a four-time All-Star. I think no one was an All-Star more than him. He was All-Defensive First Team twice, and he was All-Defensive Second Team once. He was the most decorated Celtics, at least. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's tough because they lost to the Lakers in 2011.
Yeah, 2010.
Okay, whatever.
It was 2010. It doesn't matter.
So I think if they had won that, I think you would think more of Pierce, KG.
Yeah.
Even though they didn't play that long in this decade, but I also, when I think back on this, you'll think a lot about Isaiah because I think he brought the Celtics back from being irrelevant through that rebuilding stage. Now, they didn't win anything, but mm-hmm. I don't know. It made them, you know, relevant again, fun to watch again, and ultimately got them Kyrie and, you know. Mm-hmm.
I think you could say he's the consummate Celtic.
Yeah.
It's him or Marcus Smart, one of those two.
I would agree with that.
But, I mean, the thing is that Rondo was the best player on that team at the end with those
guys. Yeah, he was awesome.
They were also old, but, I mean, he was...
He was really good.
Just couldn't shoot. Obviously, they're defensive.
But he still did everything.
Did everything else. But would those five... What would be your five then, I guess? That wouldn't be my starting five. It's just my five on the first team.
I think I would agree with that.
You're fine with that?
Yeah. Like, if it wasn't, like, we're not doing an actual starting lineup.
If we're doing a starting lineup, I would probably then slip in, I would slip in Brown or Tatum, probably take out Horford. I might slip them both in and take out IT.
You could still have Horford and KG in the same lineup.
Then you don't have a big come off the bench. You don't have to have that, I guess, but.
Well, they complement each other.
They do. And then you could take.
Well, you just couldn't really have. I don't think you could have IT and Rondo.
So who would you put on there then? Would you put Smart there or would you put.
No.
Would you put Brown or.
Yeah, I would have to put like Brown, Tatum, I don't know, Ray. Like, you need like an actual shooting guard in that spot.
Oh.
You can't have IT and Rondo both ball dominant guards.
Yep. Yeah. You definitely can't have Rondo.
Not enough basketball.
Smart out there. Which is what made the all decade team a little bit challenging for me, because I know that, I mean, like, at the end of it, you got to recognize guys for how accomplished they were, but that's not always the team that you'd build. It's not always.
Yeah, I guess when I think of an all-decade team, I didn't really, and especially today, it's kind of positionless basketball.
Right.
But, like,
it's about what you can do.
Yeah, and I think it's also what you accomplished.
Right. That's what it comes down to with the all-decade.
Yeah. Teams. Like, I mean, I had to put, as much as I don't like James Harden, I'm not going to not put him on my list.
Exactly. You can't ignore him. I mean, they're like Westbrook's another one too. Who, like.
Yeah,
I've said it. I like watching him play. I respect what he did in OKC and not leaving, but I wouldn't want him necessarily on my team. At the same time, it's like he did average a triple double for an entire season and do a lot of other things well. But that's more towards the end. We got plenty of other things to get to. You know what's happening, Matt? Is Lucy's in the studio instead of Tyler, and she's really screwing me up, throwing me off my rhythm. And she doesn't have a mic next to her, so she can't talk, which is great. But where do you want to start with this? Do you want to start with best franchise, most disappointing franchise? We can start best player, individual season that you want to go over for a team.
I have the best team of the decade.
Best team of the decade. I think this is
it's
the
Warriors.
Easiest one. Yep.
I put two just because obviously if there was another team we were arguing, it'd probably be the Heat.
It would probably be the Heat. Yeah, it'd definitely be the Heat. There's no question.
I think they're the top two, and there's really nobody else after that.
Yeah, I mean, how can you not go with the Warriors in the end of it all? And I would say they had the most disappointing season of anybody. We'll get to that a little bit later. Why I feel that way, but it was still an amazing season. And I think if anybody that has followed basketball over the past 5 years will know what I'm talking about. But I think with them, it's that may be the easiest one here. Now, the most disappointing team of the decade. Now, we've run into this before. It gets a little nuanced. Like, you know, a team that has expectations. This is not worst team, because then it would be, I don't know, you could go with the Hawks, or there are other teams that sucked throughout the decade. But I think this is a better description.
Yeah. I would probably say the most disappointing, I would put the Celtics up there. They didn't win anything. They've had expectations in multiple seasons in this decade, and they didn't come through. So for me, just that one.
Made it to the finals once, made it to the Eastern Conference Finals three other times.
Yeah.
Couldn't finish it on any of them. Although one of those years, making it to the Eastern Conference Final was a stunner in itself. That would have been, what, 17?
Mm-hmm.
That was the one surprising one.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I think that's fair. I have actually, as much as they won two titles, the Heat, and you say that they're impressive. At the same time, we thought they were going to win six.
Seven, eight, nine,
yeah,
10.
I mean, I know it's weird to have them in the conversation for both, but it's like they didn't do what everybody thought they were going to
do. I would totally agree with that.
And then the Thunder are the other one, too. We've been asked about them a while back. You had Harden, you had Westbrook, mm-hmm. you had KD. I know they were all young, but then you had Westbrook and KD. That individual season where they lost to the Warriors and they were up 3-1, that's probably the most disappointing end for a team. Second most disappointing end to a season for a team. There's one that trumps it that I will. You know, I can't keep teasing it. Most disappointing year for me was when the Warriors won 73 games and then they didn't win the whole thing. That was, what, 15-16? Yeah, I think it was 15-16. They lost in the finals to the Cavs. You win 73 games and you lose in the finals. I understand LeBron was on a mission and everything like that, but.
Well, I think they also got screwed.
Draymond
Green getting suspended in Game 5.
That's true.
Changed the whole series.
That made a big difference. Everybody who says
they
scrub now.
Well, it did, because then, you know, the Warriors lose Game 5. You give them hope. Obviously, Cleveland takes care of business at home, and anything happens in Game 7. So
part of the reason that I would be apprehensive to throw the Celtics in this group is when you say they didn't win anything. Same reason with Draymond, where they got screwed. Celtics got screwed. I was saying it on Lucy and Elaine when I was talking with Fitzy and Lucy. Like, That game six, the Celtics got screwed by the refs. And this is before, we were not old enough to know what fixing is, but that was 1,000% fixed.
In Boston.
Yeah, in Boston.
Yeah, but I also didn't LeBron, it's not the game LeBron just went.
No. That's 12. You're thinking of, with the Heat. I'm talking about the Lakers.
Oh,
the NBA Finals.
Oh, 100%.
That was brutal.
And then Perkins got hurt, so that was unlucky.
Yeah, that was brutal, dude. Oh, my God. Yeah, they had a lot of stuff going against them. They should have won that second title. And then, yeah, the other one's LeBron. You're right. That whole agenda, that's different.
But that was kind of surprising when they almost knocked off the Heat. I couldn't believe that.
Yeah, because, I mean, they were all on their last leg.
But LeBron kind of just showed why he was the best.
Which is why I think when we go to best player of the decade,
it's LeBron.
It's no question to ask LeBron. No matter what I said about the 2019 team and everything like that, who's the best player and everything.
Yeah. I think 2-3 following is Durant, Kawhi. But LeBron is by far the best player of this decade.
I mean,
Durant's got to be a close second.
Durant's not the one I'm questioning. It's as much as I love Kawhi, and he did lead.
1-2.
I just this. I'm surprised.
One as many as Durant.
Steph's not in there for you. He's got to be in your top five.
I love Steph. But
that's my thing.
He doesn't win three without Durant.
He doesn't win three without Durant, but he won one without him.
I know, and a lot of things went his way.
I understand that. I mean, look, my thing is that the dude's just. I mean, he's put together. He has one of my most impressive seasons. One of the most impressive seasons in the entire decade. And that was one of the years he won the finals. It was actually the year they ended up losing in the finals. 15-16? He set a career. What was it?
Yeah, so best individual player performance to me is Curry's MVP season. Because he changed the game of basketball.
Yeah, I have that one.
He was like, he had a 50-40-90 season. So it was, that's always kind of crazy. So.
Yes, where is it? I had the numbers pulled up. Yeah, so it was a 45.
From three.
Yeah, 45 from three, which is really his career high. If you look at his stats on like Basketball Reference, there's a one season better, but that's, I think, his rookie
year, 26 games. You think of a guy shooting 45% from three and how much attention he gets on the defensive end, that's impressive as all hell.
And then you would think someone in that position, like Joe Harris, we've talked about ad nauseum on the show, right? He's taken 5 threes a game or something like that. Steph was taking 11.2 that year. 11.2, and he's almost shooting 50%.
Yeah,
he shot 50% from the floor in general. So he led the league in free throw percentage. So that's 1 year. But the other year, too, was LeBron in 12-13. He was an animal that year. Shot 56% from the floor, 40% from three, which for him, I mean, almost 41%.
Yeah, that's unstoppable.
Rebounds a game. Averaging 26.8 and 7.3 assists per game, and almost a block a game, and almost two.
You said that was 2012.
That
was the year after they lost. So he was just on a mission.
Yeah, exactly. It shows you when LeBron.
Yeah, when he's locked in, clearly.
Yeah, he's an unstoppable, and that's why I mean I get reinventing yourself, but when he was built like a linebacker, it was unlike anything else.
Well, and he gets all the calls. You see that call the other night in Portland?
Oh my God, that was terrible. What the hell was that?
My thing is, not to go off topic, in the hell did they go and review that and be like, yep, that was the right call?
I don't know.
You know they did that, right?
I don't know how. I mean, it was like a – did he touch him?
No.
I wasn't convinced he caught his heel or not.
No.
But, of course, it's LeBron. He's going to get the benefit of the doubt.
No, that's what I'm talking about. I don't know how anybody takes NBA officials. When you make a mistake and then go check it and go, yeah, that was the right call, when clearly it's not.
Yep.
It's messed up. But it's LeBron.
This is why I'm quick to say sometimes the NBA refs are the worst of the major four sports.
It's not even close.
It's
not close.
You didn't say that. You said it wasn't the easiest job.
No. I said the
easiest job is base umpire in baseball.
There's been a whole scandal of a guy fixing games. So
yeah, Donnie.
Clearly they're the worst, I think.
I guess he was on...
And Scott Foster.
I guess he was on... pardon my take, and my brother said it's must listen for all basketball fans. I think it was Donahue.
No, he said there's still refs doing it.
Yeah, and he said, I think was it Foster's group that he said? Like his referee group is...
Foster, that's why I can't believe...
Series extenders or whatever?
Well, that's why Foster... I don't even know how he's still reffing in the NBA.
I don't either.
So my New Year's resolution, please NBA, get rid of Scott Foster.
That's your resolution.
NBA's.
Oh, it's the NBA. Oh, the NBAs. Okay, gotcha.
Yes, get rid of his ass.
I think that's a pretty good one. I'll second that. So, let's see, what else do we have here on the list? Most Best individual season for a team. I think that
Warriors 73 wins.
Okay, so I'm counting the postseason when I say that, too.
Oh. Sorry.
I say 16-17. I would say 73 wins regular season.
I was just
no
thinking
doubt.
Regular season.
Regular season, no doubt. The next year when they won it all, yeah. They got KD and everything.
Yeah, they were ridiculous.
Unstoppable.
Didn't they only lose like one game in the playoffs?
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
I know they swept.
And they won like, they lost like, what was it?
Honestly, don't think they lost until the finals. I think they swept all the way through until the finals. I think they lost game four or something. Yeah.
They went 67-15 in the regular season. And then in the playoffs, let's see, they didn't lose in the final. Oh, I'm sorry. They lost one game in the finals.
Yeah, and they swept everybody else.
And they swept everybody else.
That was one of the most dominant teams. That's a team like you'd be up 10. Mm-hmm. 15, and you don't feel comfortable because next thing you know, four threes, boom, boom, back in the game. So
exactly,
they were definitely
the Warriors
best
with
team.
KD could have not won every game. Obviously, you're gonna have nights, but no. They could have beaten
not
73
stoppable.
If they really wanted.
Come on,
to.
They won the playoffs and literally, and then the next year, since they only beat Cleveland in five, they were like, "We're going out and sweeping them."
Which
year.
Is why I don't get when all the ratings were trending in the right direction, and then this year things go the wrong way, everybody finally has a chance. I mean, yes, it's not like all 15 teams have a chance, but it's like what, six, seven teams have somewhat of a chance, some better than others. But Lakers, Clippers, you could argue the Nuggets and the Rockets, some people think they have a chance, right? That's four teams that borderline have a chance to make it to the finals. Then you have the Sixers, you have the Celtics, and you have the Bucks that have a chance to make it to the finals.
And the ratings are that bad.
And the ratings are—they've taken a huge hit. Lucy, you're the expert on that stuff, right? Is this mic on? All right, good. I'll fix this later. The ratings are down this year, right, for the NBA?
Yes.
Okay, and it's like huge—a huge drop off, right? I know I'm putting you on the spot here.
Not as much as baseball.
Okay.
But yes.
Well, you need to throw that in there, but okay.
Yes.
So are we? Do you know how much it is off the top of your head?
I have no idea.
Okay, but it's okay. Either way.
Somehow I'm a ratings expert all
you're,
of a sudden.
You're the media columnist here and everything like that, so you're supposed to know those things. You know what?
That's true. The media, the ratings are in the media column addendum. I deal more in the people that are in the media.
Why did I ask you this
Less
question?
Of ratings yes. than, what would Tyler say? Because I know Tyler is better
Tyler would drop
producing
in,
than I am.
Tyler would drop in a Daryl Morey sounder.
Oh, wow. He's so funny.
Yeah, exactly. Well,
you guys are so funny. Okay. Five Out's the best podcast ever.
Thank you, Lucy. I appreciate it. We're going to save that, actually.
I feel some sarcasm in that.
Yeah, no, she's the worst. Anyway, what else is there? Oh, we have most disappointing player of the decade. Now, this one.
I have three.
I have two.
All right, go ahead.
Kyrie.
Okay.
And D Rose, and it's not D Rose's
fault.
I
have D Rose too, but I obviously it's not his fault.
It's not his fault, but it's like, dude, you know.
Yeah, it sucked. I have two other ones that you will laugh at, but I didn't put Kyrie.
Okay,
Kyrie won a chip. You're just thinking more of the Celtics.
It's not just the Celtics. It's also like the way things ended with the Cavs too.
And,
it's just,
and now he doesn't put when the hell was the last time? You better come back in March, dude, because I'm coming for your ass.
I don't know. I mean, it's just the fact that you know what the thing is? Again, expectations. I like Kyrie when he was in Cleveland. The dude's handles are absurd, but it's just one thing after another. And I'm not saying that this is a fake injury like you're hearing, what was it, Rick Boucher saying some stuff like that.
Yeah.
I just think that it's, I don't know, the way it ended in Boston, the way it ended in Cleveland, now it just seems things are odd in Brooklyn and he's trying, I don't know. It's been for me who thought so highly of him. That's why I'm disappointed. And then D Rose.
I got two other ones.
Go ahead.
Dwight Howard.
Oh yeah.
Because if you think about it, I think I guess it was 2009-10. He made it to the finals. He was dominant as all hell.
He was a savage.
And then I don't know how many more years after that he stayed with the Magic. But remember, he got traded to LA, and that was like a huge thing. And he sucked in LA.
Oh, that was.
And he
worse.
Went to the Rockets. Didn't do anything with the Rockets. So to me, like a guy with because at the end of the day, he'll probably be a Hall of Famer just because.
Yeah, he will be.
He was dominant in the year, whatever. And, you know, again, I don't like him.
Dude, looking at Kyle Lowry stuff, he might end up being a Hall of Famer. He's a five-time All-Star, and he won a ring.
Yeah.
You know the NBA is not tough when it – I mean, the Basketball Hall of Fame is not tough when it comes to letting people in.
Most, yeah. I don't know.
Dwight's
just
a good player.
I think that's, to me, disappointing just because he never really did. And he hasn't won a ring.
No, and he hasn't won a ring. Dwight might have – I didn't put most disappointing individual season for a player, but his year with the Lakers might be the most disappointing run.
I was just thinking of the – like this. I also put – shout out to Josh E.D. because I thought of him, and this was Greg Oden.
Oh, yeah.
And again, maybe not his fault because, again, he had, like, bad knees and stuff. But I don't know. Guy, think about that. He went over Durant.
Yeah. That's,
that changes Portland's – you know, Portland gets Durant. That changes your franchise.
Anthony Bennett's a really disappointing one, too. I mean, if we're talking about –
I'm just thinking of Greg – but I never – yeah, I wasn't really thinking of bust in the sense of – because Greg Oden, I thought, was – going to be a good player.
Yeah.
I didn't know Anthony Bennett in college. Like, Greg Oden was dominant in college. So.
Right. There's a difference. Yes, absolutely. He was supposed to be the next big, big.
And it's not like he was healthy and just sucked like Anthony Bennett. He just, he got hurt and that was kind of it. That was it for him.
So. I still think you, I think if you, like, I put Kyrie in there and I think your other two are great. But when we look back at it all, it's the biggest what if of this decade is what if D-Rose never got hurt? Because, I mean, he said himself he probably would still play in Chicago. He might have won a ring. I mean, for all the stuff that LeBron dominated the decade and then the Warriors obviously did in the second half of it, D-Rose could have thrown a wrench into all of it. I know that that the Mavericks did and the Spurs did a little bit mixed in, but, man. I would have liked to see Chicago dominant in basketball again, just for a little bit.
Sorry, Ty.
Yeah, exactly. This is why Ty isn't here. He's actually celebrating that Jacksonville's cleaning house right now,
I saw a picture. He was at the game.
Yeah.
That is the most depressing stadium I've ever seen in my life. It's like a high school game.
That's worse than the Northwestern college football games.
It's gross.
It's bad, man. You can't even get half the people in there.
Hey, they won, though. Congrats.
They did. Now, this one I had a really tough time with. Actually, I
couldn't pick one for the coach
of the decade. Coach of the decade, yep.
I didn't pick one. I just threw people on the list that, like, to me, I think Eric Spoelstra has to be on my – he's like, I was trying to narrow it down to three, but I got to, like, four-ish. I honestly, because when he was coaching the Heat, I was like, this guy is just like LeBron's puppet. But clearly
– yep.
He's not, man, because the Heat have been relevant. They're really good this year.
Mm-hmm.
So I think a lot of credit to him.
I honestly was like, I just went all nice on Spoelstra in the 2019 episode. But it's like time has been very kind to Eric Spoelstra.
Yeah.
I mean, we all thought, oh, you have LeBron. It's not a big deal. Yeah. You're going to be like, come on. How can you not win with LeBron? Mm-hmm. But we've seen now with a lot of guys, it's not always easy to win with superstars.
Yeah.
And LeBron's not always the easiest guy to necessarily deal with.
Oh, really?
But he's made it work 1,000%. Everything's gone to, I mean, won two titles. Again, as much as they're the most disappointing team in consideration, at least for me.
I don't think he's, I don't think he's the, like, the number one in my list, but I was just
Pop's still in the conversation.
Pop has to be.
Yep.
Just think of, like, how good they have been.
Still
this is the first year they might not make the playoffs in, like, I don't even know how many
years. Since he was in the military.
Or had 50 wins or whatever. That, like, he's just consistency. So, to me, he's got to be it. I also put Rivers on the list because I thought Doc Rivers would go to L.A. and be irrelevant.
Oh, the Clippers are the most disappointing team of the decade. When they had lots of 100%, no doubt in my mind.
But I don't think they were good enough to win a chip, but
they didn't go anywhere.
But I'm saying I thought Doc Rivers was going to go to L.A. and be irrelevant. And he hasn't. He's shown that guys want to play for him.
That's why.
Even last year, his coaching performance was unbelievable.
I didn't put this on the all-decade team that's on the site, but I did have it for Lucy and Elaine. That coach of the decade for the Celtics, to me, is Doc Rivers.
Yeah.
Because he went and got to the finals. Again, got screwed there. Made it another time. I know he left and spent a lot of time in L.A., but he's just superstars want to play for him. I mean, that's important in this league.
He's the best, like, manager,
but
of egos and all that stuff.
But the Clippers are they're the most disappointing team of the decade still because you had Lob City, Chris Paul, everybody. I mean, for me, I love it because everybody's like, oh, Chris Paul. Well, they didn't do shit.
Well, they also didn't have a championship team. They didn't have wing players.
They didn't make it.
Yeah,
they didn't even make it. That's my problem.
I get it, but I'm just saying, like, I didn't think they were, like, foregone. It's disappointing they never made it to, like, a Western Conference Finals, yes.
Mm.
But I didn't think they'd win the whole thing.
That's fine. It's not, but they didn't even, like, you throw in the Celtics, they.
Like, look how good Chris Paul made those guys, though.
Yeah.
Like, DeAndre Jordan, he's been irrelevant since Chris Paul's left.
Yeah, he still gets up.
Blake Griffin, I know he's on the Pistons, whatever, but he's been irrelevant. Like,
he's not the same
having guy. A good point guard. And Chris Paul is, it makes other guys better. They never really had good wing players, though.
No, they didn't. They had Paul Pierce on his back, on the back 27.
I also have Rick Carlisle on that list.
Oh. Okay.
I just think, like, he's a really good coach. Obviously, he beat Miami with the Dallas team. I just think he does a good job
with what
he's had at Dallas.
I'd be more tempted to go with, you know what, though? Yeah, I think I'd go with him. I'm trying to think which one's more impressive, Dallas winning that over Miami or the Spurs winning it over Miami, but that's...
No. That Spurs team was awesome.
Yeah, I think
I thought it was Dallas. I didn't think Dallas would win that. I don't think Dallas would win. Spurs, that series, Spurs dominated that whole series. Their ball movement was unbelievable.
But I'm saying which one's more impressive is in like an underdog perspective. Like, yes, Dallas. The Spurs were outstanding, but Dallas is probably it.
Oh, definitely was more. Yeah. I didn't think they'd win.
No, I didn't
know. They held LeBron to 8 points. Well, mostly because LeBron decided he only wanted to score 8 points.
But Dirk, I mean, was always great and everything, but I just never thought he was the superstar that could lead a team to a title.
Dirk's the man.
He is the man. He is not on my all-decade team. Oh, the last thing I wanted to mention was the move of the decade. I'm going to give that to the Toronto Raptors. Getting Kawhi Leonard did exactly
thanks,
what you
Danny
wanted.
Thanks, Danny Ainge. Yeah, thanks, bro. You could have done that.
You got Jaylen Brown. Yeah,
Ainge could have done that.
Yeah, he could have done that and gotten given up Jaylen Brown and would have gotten a title out of it. Whatever. Probably wouldn't have Kawhi anymore, but
it's okay.
Would have had a title. All right, so you have... Do you want to do the all-decade team?
We can do the all-decade
team. All right, so for the all-decade team, we picked just 10 guys, whoever, you know, no positions or anything like that, right? I didn't specify that, did I?
I mean, I didn't do, like, a starting five. I just I did guards, wings, forwards, I thought, and I tried to pick 10.
Okay.
And then I had some honorable mentions.
You have honorable mentions.
Yeah, that didn't make the top 10, but I still think they were obviously pretty good in this decade.
Okay, go ahead.
Guards, Steph Curry, one, obviously. Two, Harden, even though I hate him. Three, D Wade. I think he has to be on that list. Westbrook, number four.
Okay.
And then you won't like this, but I put Chris Paul on that list because I just think he's been a really, like, if you look at his stats and NBA, you know, all-star appearances, all-NBA, he was that dude.
He's up there. He's not on my list, but he's up
there. Okay. Wings, these are, to me, the first are obvious, Durant, LeBron, Kawhi.
Yep.
And then I put Kobe on there because that's my guy, so I got to put Kobe. Kobe was still relevant. He won a championship. He was still relevant.
Yeah, he did win a championship. You're right. I'm not going to argue anybody that puts him on your list, but
all right. I'm biased, so.
You are a little biased.
You know me. And then the last one, Anthony Davis.
Yep.
Is the only forward I had. Honorable mentions, I had Paul George, Blake Griffin. I couldn't really put Giannis on because, I don't know, I feel like he's.
See, I did put him on.
I kind of.
He's been an all-star the last 3 years, and he has turned into an absolute animal.
He has, but I don't know.
He was one of the best guys in the league. He was obviously the MVP.
I'll still take Kobe over Giannis.
Maybe the early half of the decade, but things kind of went towards the middle.
That's what I'm saying. If Giannis had been as dominant for more than 3 years, I think obviously I would have probably gave him the nod. But
CP3 would probably make my list if I didn't have like a bias against him.
Yeah, that's
I mean,
sense.
Kobe, I wanted to put on there, but I just felt like the end was just such a.
Oh, he got hurt.
I know he did.
The dude scored 60 in his last game. So
I understand. I couldn't put him on my list. He's on my last five.
Anyone.
He did win. He did. And I mean, I also wanted to put Dirk on there. I was like, nah, the last set.
Dirk was on my honorable mentions. I also had LaMarcus Aldridge, who's been pretty good.
Yep.
So who did I say? I said Paul George, Blake Griffin. I put Melo on there, even though I would never put him in the top 10. But, you know, he's still like, was a good player in the early.
When you tell the story of this decade, if we were to tell Lucy about the story of the NBA, because she doesn't know shit about basketball, is what you now you want to talk? You have something to say? I didn't think so. Who would be the 10 guys that I would have to like? And I guess if I did that, Kobe would probably be on that list.
Come on, man.
Yeah.
Yes.
Kobe would still be on that list, but Giannis would be too. That's what makes this so tough. AD was a better he's on my list. If I was to swap someone out for Kobe, and I'm trying to tell the story of this decade, I might take out AD as much as. He was elite. Kobe's an important part of the decade.
Thank you.
So LeBron, Steph, Kawhi, KD, no questions asked. Those are the first four guys I wrote down.
Yeah.
Giannis is the fifth guy I wrote down. Mm-hmm. Giannis is another one you can make a case for.
I'm not mad at you for doing it.
I appreciate that. James Harden, of course, on my list reluctantly. I'd love to have him off. That's the first guy I want out. AD is on my list. Russell Westbrook's on my list. D Wade is on my list. Another guy who maybe I take out for Kobe. Wouldn't take him out for Kobe?
Nah, I wouldn't take him out. I have Kobe on it, but I'm saying D-Wade, D-Wade was amazing.
10's going to piss you off, and I'm 100% biased, but I will justify this decision. It's 100%. You want to take a guess?
No. I don't know.
You know who it is. You just got to think. It's Paul George.
Oh, the one I just said in my honorable mention.
Yeah, you said your that same Paul George, the very same guy. No, but I mean the point is that you wouldn't have him on.
Yeah, he can't be on my 10.
He's on my 10 because he went to OKC and was an MVP caliber player after what happened with the injury.
Lost in the first round.
The injury was huge. Yes, I understand that.
Broke his leg.
Played with Russ. Broke his leg. But he was the first guy that I always say this. This is where I fell in love with him. Watching him stand up to LeBron, defend him well. I understand it wasn't quite. I understand he wasn't quite, but the no-name Indiana Pacers, out of nowhere, became an elite team behind him. I know you had Roy Hibbert and maybe Paul George.
Roy Hibbert sucks.
He didn't suck then.
He still sucks.
Well, I think some people would blame Paul George for that, but that's another story for another day. but you had him, and he was, and I get it. I'm disappointed that he went and left Indiana. I'm disappointed that he went and bagged out on Oklahoma City before the end of his contract. I don't like when guys do that necessarily. Mm-hmm. But I still look at this decade, and I think he's one of the best players that there is, and you cannot tell the story, especially of the Eastern Conference, without Paul George.
Yep.
And, I mean, there's only so many guys when I look. I mean, we have, what, three guys from the East here? Not counting Paul George? I have three guys. D-Wade, LeBron, Giannis, and then Paul George is my last one. Mm-hmm. You don't even have three. You have D-Wade and LeBron. That's it from the East. You're just telling the story of the Western Conference.
Well, that's where basketball is played.
This is true. Although it's getting better in the East this year.
Yeah, it's balanced.
Well, if KD comes back and is 80% of what he was, I mean, the East is just...
Yeah, the East is...
East might be just as good as the West. It's close.
No. Yes.
Well, the Nets are on another level if KD is at 80%.
Yes.
You think that they're 100% on even playing field?
No,
if KD's
but it's pretty close.
No, but if KD comes back, it's okay.
It's pretty close because you have some really good. You have a top heavy East. You got like four or five really good teams.
Yeah,
the West isn't like loaded in the sense of like 1 through 8. I think the bottom.
That's
teams,
why I'm looking at.
That's why I said if KD's back, I'd say it's even.
De'Aaron Fox is back, right?
Yeah,
I did watch a little bit of last night. I gotta watch some more Kings because I haven't. He's
Kings
been hurt.
Sucks.
Yeah, but I like De'Aaron Fox. Anyway, you did a redraft.
Well, the first thing I did is I gave like three of the worst picks. I can't remember if I did it in this decade because I'm looking at it now and I'm like, number two doesn't – I don't know if – I don't think this was in this decade. You could tell me if I'm wrong. But the three worst picks, one was Anthony Bennett, which is obvious because they could have had, you know, Giannis. They could have had Steven Adams. They could have had Victor Oladipo.
Mm-hmm. Second, Victor Oladipo. That's the steal of the decade. I mean,
the second worst pick was Hasheem Thabeet.
Oh,
from Memphis, because Memphis could have had Steph Curry or DeMar DeRozan.
Mm.
And then the third, this could actually be number two, but again, I can't remember if this was in this decade. But number three,
2 seconds,
and I think it was.
Thabeet's not in this decade. He was
that was the one
2009.
I think three might be is the number like three worst pick I have seen was Jan Vesely for the Wizards.
Wow,
because they could have had Kawhi Leonard or Klay Thompson with that pick. Think about
Jan Vesely. Yeah, that's this decade.
That's terrible.
That is awful. I don't remember that name.
So yeah, so like then I was looking at like if you
Dragon Bender, there's another guy who didn't work out well. I mean, I'm just
if you redrafted these like 2013, if we redrafted, you know, that draft, it kind of would change the whole landscape of the league. Because if
you
had to redraft it, you would take
–
the Cleveland Cavs would have Giannis.
Mm-hmm.
Because they took Anthony Bennett. Giannis went 15 in that, which is kind of still crazy. Thanks, Celtics, for taking Kelly Olynyk.
two picks later.
Same draft.
Well, somebody had Kelly Olynyk on their all-decade Celtics team. I wanted to vomit.
Now, same draft. I don't agree with this because, I was looking at this stuff. Someone said that they would take Rudy Gobert number two. And that would be the Orlando Magic's pick. They'd pick Oladipo. I think Oladipo stays in that spot in that draft, number two. I think that was a good
pick. I think Oladipo's the pick there.
That was a good pick.
Mm-hmm.
Number three, I think just stays the same. I don't know where the hell he's been. I thought he was good on the Wizards. It was Otto Porter.
I think he was fine, but he's dealt with injuries, hasn't he?
Yeah. Where is he? He got traded.
Oh, he's in Chicago.
Yeah. And then number four... This person wrote Victor Oladipo, the Hornets, even though, again, I still think he goes too. So if you want, in my mind,
where
Oladipo goes too.
Where are you reading
too.
This, by
this
way?
This is...
Just we give them credit for...
Article. Of,
what site?
I think it's Bleacher Report.
Bleacher Report, okay. Yeah, they always do stuff like this.
So I was just, again, this isn't what I would agree with. I think Victor would stay too. I think Rudy Gobert would go in that spot.
In three, okay.
So the Hornets.
And then you'd move
because,
up to CJ
because
McCollum.
They took Cody Zeller.
Yeah.
Which was a terrible pick.
That one, you know what's funny is.
But it was a good college player that just never translated.
There are some guys who. I don't watch as much college as I do NBA, obviously.
Yeah.
But there are some guys where I saw him through the years and say, why is there so much hype around him for, like,
just,
for the draft?
It's just like how they played in college, but that doesn't always translate to
the league.
That's
what I mean, though.
It's like his brother. Tyler Zell was one of the best college basketball mm-hmm. players probably. I don't know. Did he play in this decade?
I don't think he did.
Anyway, but he was really good, and he just never translated.
Right, but there are some. But you know what? My thing is, I guess there are some guys where it seems more obvious that as much as they're good, they're not going to translate. Like, well, I thought Sullinger was going to translate. I was wrong about that one.
Yeah, because he got fat.
Exactly. But so then number
five was Alex Len.
Who was your four though for that?
I would have had Rudy Gobert there.
You would have had Gobert.
I would have Victor.
Oh, you had him at three. I thought.
No. Who? Gobert.
You would go.
I'd go Giannis, Victor, and then Otto Porter, three. I still think that was a pretty good pick.
Okay, okay, gotcha.
I don't think I would have changed that pick for what they had because they already had Beal and they had Wall.
Gotcha. Okay.
I'm also thinking in that perspective. But if you because number five, who could be up there easily, is CJ McCollum.
That's.
But right. They had Beal, they had Wall. So I don't know if they make.
So
that
you're looking
pick,
back at it and saying. They made a mistake. You would have put Rudy ahead of him. You put Rudy ahead of him now, obviously, but you don't think it was that bad of a mistake on Washington's part at that time.
No, because okay. I thought that was a pretty good pick for what they need. Because he actually is a pretty good shooter. He turned it until I honestly don't even know where he is anymore. But
I'm telling you, he's in Chicago.
Poor guy. Anyway, the Suns took Alex Len at five.
Mm.
CJ McCollum would have been a much better pick.
That's safe to say.
Yeah. So I mean, that kind of just. So I think they just wrote like five, like the top five of that draft.
Gotcha.
So 2004, like Cleveland, man, they're so dumb.
You mean 14?
Yeah, 2014, Cleveland would have, instead of picking Andrew Wiggins, who, again, at the time probably was the obvious pick.
Oh, everybody, it was him and Jabari.
I know, but.
Everybody loved them. Oh, my God.
But, yeah, again.
No, you're right.
I don't think back then we would have been like, pick Jokic. Because he should be the – if we had to redraft it, he'd be one to Cleveland.
Yep.
So, I mean, think about that. They'd have Giannis and him.
Yeah, he
– So, he'd go number one. Number two was Jabari Parker. But if you had to redraft it, I think, you know, easily Milwaukee Bucks take Joel Embiid.
Imagine that for the last – oh, my God. Imagine that for the Bucks and the Cavs if they had those two guys each.
So, obviously, if we're doing that, that bumps Joel up because he went third to the – Sixers, so they have Gary Harris going to Philly next.
Okay.
Who originally went 15. Now, I think that's, in this draft, it wasn't like a really deep class, because then they have, at number four, the Magic picked Aaron Gordon, who I don't think is a bad player.
Yeah, I'm not a big Gordon guy.
But they're saying that they now would take Dario.
Dario Saric?
Yep.
Okay.
And then... Well, this makes sense. Number five pick that year was Dante Exum, who just got traded.
Right.
What a bust that guy's been. Yeesh. And they're saying they would Clint Capella would go in that spot.
That makes a lot of sense.
So that was that.
And
class.
Then the Smart stay at six in your book?
Yeah, I think Smart in that, you know, was a decent.
The
pick.
Other good, pretty, like, you know, good guys are Randall is there too.
Yeah, I still take Smart over Randall.
There was another guy I just saw too, and I can't. Joe Harris, I would take Smart obviously over him. Spencer Dinwiddie's there too.
Yeah,
but
I think they made a good pick at that spot.
Oh well, they. I mean,
they could have picked Gary Harris, but
and Jokic too.
Yeah, I'm saying if we
Zach
redraft,
Levine
if
too.
We redrafted and those guys went before Smart.
I don't know if I take Zach LaVine over Smart. I'm not. I get frustrated watching him sometimes. What else you got?
So 2015, the first pick stays the same because I think Karl-Anthony Towns was the best player in that draft.
Mm-hmm. Jahlil Okafor, what a bust.
Yeah, number two, the Lakers would have picked Kristaps Porzingis. Mm-hmm. Would have been a great pick instead of DeAndre Russell's.
God, you remember when the Knicks booted the shit out of him?
Yeah,
out of Phil Jackson and everything? Oh, my God.
Number three, instead of now Philly wouldn't have Jahlil Okafor, they would have picked Devin Booker, who's a bucket, so they would have had him.
Not if you double-team him, but whatever.
Then that would make that would slide up for number four, the Knicks, instead of getting Porzingis. If Porzingis went earlier, they could pick Miles Turner, who I wish the Celtics had. And then
you and everybody else, Andy Hart wants him. I swear to God, everybody on freaking Twitter.
I wouldn't trade the house. I'm just saying I would like to have him.
You would be a nice piece to have. Yes.
And then number five, the Magic took Mario Hezonja. That guy's on the Blazers now, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And they could have taken Josh Richardson, who went number 40 to the Heat, which is crazy.
Josh Richardson went 40th?
Yeah. Isn't that crazy?
That is crazy.
Some other butt. Justice Winslow's been a bust. He went number 10.
Yeah, he hasn't been the
Celtics
best.
Had Rozier at that pick. Now, this is the most interesting one. 2016, number one, Ben Simmons. You still take Ben Simmons number one in that draft?
No.
Because they're saying they would.
Wait a minute. There's Murray. I wouldn't take Ingram over Jaylen Brown.
So they have Jaylen Brown going number two to the Lakers if they redrafted
it.
And then the Celtics get Ingram. And then the Suns, instead of
I'm taking Pascal Siakam number one.
That's a good one.
That's my number one in that draft. Well, but when did they make that list? In defense to them.
Yeah, I don't think they didn't. Back. Yeah, they.
Based on what we're seeing now, I think Pascal Siakam is unquestionably the number one.
No.
Who else there? You taking Ben over him?
I might take Jalen.
Really?
One. Yeah.
Okay, Jalen's my two after Siakam.
Siakam is a good. I wouldn't argue.
And then I would probably go.
I'd probably put Siakam number two.
I have a tough time with three between Murray and Simmons.
I would take. I would probably go Murray.
Simmons. The problem is that Simmons. We know what he can be, but he's such a. He's such a little. He's soft. We know this. We've gone over a million times. I'm going Murray, too. I can't.
And then I think the next year makes even more sense because, number one, the Sixers.
Who's your five there, though?
I think it'd be Siakam would be. So Siakam, I'd go Brown, Jaylen, Siakam.
Murray, Simmons.
Murray, Ingram. Ingram's got to be in the top five.
Okay, yep, Ingram, fine. That's fine.
I think the next year makes sense that number one overall would go on the Sixers if they weren't idiots. They would take Tatum.
Right.
And then number two to the Lakers should have been Donovan Mitchell.
Mm-hmm. Although,
I don't think Lonzo Ball should have gone.
No, it's just more that sometimes watching him, Donovan's getting frustrating again.
Yeah, I still think he's a good player.
Yeah, of course, still a good player.
Then they wrote number three would be Lonzo Ball to the Celtics. I don't know if I like that much.
Just because it's the Celtics, or just because? I mean, he's gotten a lot better. You know who's? And again, I know.
Yeah, he hit seven threes last night.
Lonzo did?
Yeah.
Really?
Yes.
I did not know that. You know who's gotten really good down low, though, and he just, I think, is the only thing is you just got to continue to try and put on more muscle mass, is Jared Allen. That dude's a savage down low.
He's a big boy.
Good off the pick and roll, great rim protector, double-double machine now. He'd be in my top five here. I think I'd put him, I'd have De'Aaron Fox probably as my.
I'd have De'Aaron Fox as number three.
Three, and then I'd probably go with Jared Allen.
I'd probably put Kyle Kuzma in that top five, too.
I'd go Kuzma with five. That's fine.
So, I mean, they only did it through that far, but I thought it was just, when I read this article, it was pretty interesting. Obviously, I don't
know. For 18 and 19, well, we don't know for 19. For 18, there's Ayton, Bagley, Doncic, Jaren Jackson, and Trae Young. Obviously, you move up Doncic to one, Trae Young to two. We're in agreement there, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And then after that, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander definitely could have gone up. I don't know if he's in top five. I think it's going to be tough to tell who else is going to move up there. I'm trying to see. Devontae Graham, based on what he's doing this year, can move up a ton.
He's killing.
Based on what he's done this year so far, he could be three.
He could be, yeah.
And then Shai could be number four.
He's a stud.
And then after that, I like Jaren Jackson a lot.
No, Jaren Jackson.
I think he's a good fifth there, maybe four over Shai. And then obviously we have no idea for 2019. We'll see what happens. Oh, you know what? Actually, kind of looking ahead, and we do have a couple listener questions that we got to get to. But looking ahead, who do you think is going to have a better decade coming up? Is it going to be Ja Morant or Zion?
Ja.
I think so too. Because I think even if he gets really good and everything, and his head can get big or whatever, and gets more confident, his game just plays well with everybody.
Yeah, I just think his ceiling is. I think we know what Zion is. I don't know if he'll ever be a jump shooter. I think Ja is just dynamic.
He does it all. He does it all, and it's not like some guys. I feel like Hunt assists. They don't want to make the right pass necessarily always.
End of the day, you need guys who dominate in the league are guys that handle the rock. I don't know if Zion's one of those guys.
Right. All right, so we have a couple questions, unless you had anything else before we do that.
That was it.
So we got one from, where the hell did I put that list? Oh, crap, I got to find a list. One was from, here we go. All right, Taylor C. What would the Celtics look like if Isaiah Thomas never hurt his hip? Do the Celtics still trade for Kyrie? I think they absolutely do still trade for Kyrie.
And yeah, I think if Isaiah didn't hurt his hip, they'd at the end of the day, Danny Ainge knew after they lost that this team wasn't, you know, they were a nice team, but they weren't a championship team. So exactly. I think whether it was for Kyrie or not, he would have got traded if he got a good deal.
Even though they signed Gore, like they probably still would have signed Hayward. Yep. Okay.
I think they make a move if it's out there.
And then the other one comes from Jack T. Does Kevin Durant have a ring if he stays in Oklahoma City? I think he would.
I don't think so.
Really?
No. Nope.
Why not?
I just don't think him and Russ work.
I think that he became someone that was just too good and it wouldn't have mattered at the end of it all. I don't think he's going to get one with James Harden necessarily, but I think even though some would argue James Harden is the greatest scorer of all time, and it's just factual.
Who, Ty?
Ty might argue that. I cannot believe how much he's like starting to side with the Rockets and Daryl Morey and everything.
I'm not shocked.
Really? You're not? Yeah. But anyway, I think that KD just became that transcendent player where it didn't matter.
Yeah, but a transcendent on the team. On a good system. I just don't think that Thunder team worked. That's why he left. Whether they were up 3-1 or not, to me, I just don't think that they could have got it done.
They would have gotten it done that year. Wasn't that the year Kyrie and
they got
Love
hurt.
Yeah.
So probably not. LeBron would probably have won.
Anyways, that's going to wrap things up. We're going to be at Lord Hobo on January 2nd. We got an event for Pete Frazee in honor of him and his passing. They got a whole thing where they're rebranding a beer and everything like that. I'll be there. I you don't know if you're going to be there yet, right?
Possibly.
Okay, Ty's definitely not going to be there. I know that. He's got something going on. But all the podcasts will be there. And feel free to swing on by. Starts at 7.
Here's my question I was going to ask you today and forgot. Oh. Which Lord Hobo is this?
Oh, you think you're funny, huh?
This is a legitimate question because I don't want to go to the wrong one like you did before.
Oh, it's the one in Woburn.
In Woburn, okay.
Yeah, it's the only place that we do it. That's like Rob's like spot, I think.
Okay.
I went to the one in Boston. There's only one in Boston, I think, right? There's only like two.
In Cambridge, maybe?
Cambridge?
Maybe.
Maybe that's where it was. I don't know.
You know better than I, but yes.
Why would I know better than you?
Because you were there. I've never been there.
Oh, you haven't been there?
I haven't been.
Oh, that's right. I forgot. I had to sit in for you with Elaine. That was fun, yeah. Yes. Then Rob took the bad pictures and everything. I remember now.
Yes, Lucy and Elaine Show will be there as well.
And I think everybody else will be there too. But I don't know why I'm looking at you and asking that. Anyway, we will talk to you guys again next week. Everybody have a happy new year.
What it do, baby?
Yeah, you already know.
I'm just trying to be all right with it, yeah. I'm just trying to be all right with it, yeah. I'm just trying to see the light in it. I think we should take a ride with it. Yeah. I'm just trying to spend the night with it, yeah. I just wanna be alright with it. I'm just tryna see the light in it. I think we should take a ride with it. Hey, I got no resolutions, I'm just hoping for some.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.